I've been here all night. Ariana. I've been here all day. Nicki Minaj. And boy, got me walking side.
Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. I don't know this music. Do you know this music? This is good. I like this, but I don't know it.
Is this Janelle Monáe?
Is that who that is?
I have no idea. Jasmine, quit shaking your head in disgust at Grandma and Grandpa.
Ariana Grande.
Oh, yeah. This is Ariana Grande. I call her AG.
You just call her that, Steve?
Ag.
To save time or because you're friends?
Because we're close.
Oh. Today's show will be a good show. Tomorrow, you know, we're at the county fair.
I will be milking a cow.
At about this time tomorrow, you'll be milking a cow.
I'm so jealous of you guys.
Have you ever milked a cow?
Have I ever milked a cow?
I would bet yes.
I don't know the answer to this, but my money would also be on yes.
I'm going to say no. I don't remember.
You've never milked a cow, so. Steve.
I think it would be something you would remember.
Forever.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened in my childhood that I don't fully
that you blocked out?
Didn't you grow up in Manteno or somewhere where they had cows?
My uncle had a dairy farm.
How close was the closest cow to you, Steve, when you were growing up in Manteno? Was it like a block away, a few blocks away, would you say?
It was probably a mile away.
Oh.
Half a mile.
Close enough to where if you wanted to milk it, you could probably have done that.
I think if you walked right over I-57, you'd hit the McQueen farm. They had cattle.
Oh.
Dairy cattle.
Steve McQueen's farm?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh. No, not Steve.
Very, very briefly, the word came out about how much it cost to find the Humboldt Park alligator, and the total came to just under $34,000, $33,600. So of that money, which, by the way, did you think it was in that neighborhood?
No, that seems high to me.
Would you thought higher or lower?
Now, I am going to sound terrible, but I thought, like, if your job entails putting up barricades and stuff, mm-hmm. then you're just called to the scene and you put up barricades.
Part of what your duty
is. Yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't know it was extra.
It doesn't really say how they went about distributing that part of it. Like, did they say to workers in the area, by the way, if you guys want to earn some extra cash, put up some signs, put up some tape, that sort of thing. It doesn't really go into detail, but you would think that'd be part of the job description, wouldn't you? The most interesting thing is that the fee for the man who caught it, remember, first they sent out this guy Alligator Bob, and he didn't catch the alligator. So then they went kind of out of town. They went to Florida and got this guy Frank Robb, who did successfully capture the alligator. His fee was $2,500.
Not enough.
I don't think so either.
He saved the day.
It worked for 2 days, didn't he? I mean,
but he got the job done, did he not?
Sure. That took $2,500 a day. That's not too bad.
And how do they budget for that?
I mean, can't figure that out either, Mary.
That? Let's come up with $2,500. How's that?
He probably had a fee. That's probably expenses were 20.
Alligator catcher?
You go through the book of alligator catchers and you go, well, this guy must not be very good, $50 a day. And then you find a guy who's like at $10,000 a day. You go, that's way too much. But here's a guy right in the middle, Frank Robb, at $2,500 to get the job done.
How much did Alligator Bob get? Don't look at me like that. He
has to forfeit all that
money. No! He tried, nothing. You guys.
Trying isn't good enough.
He was the fluffer. He got everything ready the other the alligator other guy to go get him.
Frank Robb.
Yeah.
The successful alligator hunter.
That's what he does for a living.
You got to leave that guy alone. He volunteered his time.
Right.
He gave his best shot.
I'm defending him.
I know.
But can he still do that? Like, if there's another alligator somewhere, can he go, I know I didn't do really good last time.
Give me one more chance.
I'm here to make amends. I'm going to show you guys what I'm made out of. I'll cut my price in half.
My price of zero?
I say no one will hire him.
He didn't get paid.
He's done.
I'm sure he didn't get paid.
He shouldn't have.
Oh, you're so mean.
He didn't catch the alligator.
There are some days you shouldn't get paid for the show.
I don't. That's my agreement.
And me as well.
With management. I've only been paid 3 times in the last 6 months. It's not good.
They're getting a deal with you.
So there was a story yesterday out of Michigan in Livingston County. I'd have to look. I'm not sure exactly where that is. People said they saw an alligator crossing the road.
Oh, really?
At 4:20 in the morning. Yeah. Deputies arrived to find that there was indeed an alligator on the side of the road. They captured it by a tree, 2 foot long, 10 pounds. And, well, here's the big news of this story. It's going to the Critchlow Alligator Sanctuary in Athens, Michigan.
Oh.
So there's an alligator sanctuary
in Michigan.
Right.
With only alligators that were caught locally, or
I don't
do they...
know. I don't know.
I would think to be successful, they'd have to go out of their jurisdiction and get them from other places, I would imagine.
So maybe Bob could work there.
Just leave him alone. Weren't you the one saying you have to leave him alone? But you're not on his side.
But isn't he kind of a representation of what we call the participation trophy?
No, I mean...
You don't think he is?
He gave it his best shot. Yeah. We had no one else at the time. You weren't out there.
Yeah, you weren't helping.
But I'm not calling myself Alligator Billy.
He didn't call himself that. Everybody else called him that.
He was a member of the Herpetological Society.
Right, he's Herpetological Bob. It was easier to say Alligator Bob, so...
All right.
I feel sorry
for him. Let's say you had an alligator in your house. You went home, you opened the door, and there's an alligator in your house. Would you call Alligator Bob?
Yeah. He's turned into the Steve Bartman of alligator catching.
You're really right on that, Mary, and it's not fair. What if you see someone on the street and you try to save them and you're unable to?
Right.
I guess you wouldn't call yourself Paramedic Bill.
No.
But, I mean, at least you tried.
Peripatetic Bill.
What?
That may have been an insult or it may have been a compliment.
I don't know.
I'm not sure, but thank you, Steve.
Vocab is possibly not my thing. Or math. Or science. Or English.
I say he's stripped of his title.
He didn't want that title.
He never turned it down, though.
Okay, let's move on, though. Because, so you're talking about the 36 grand, right?
Yeah, yes. I think the other guy who caught him should have gotten more than $2,500. Because he saved the day here.
But whenever I see those stories, I'm thinking, they're like you guys were saying, they're not paying overtime to put the barricades up.
Right.
You know, they're just figuring out this is the money, the manpower they spent on this story. It was going to be spent one way or another.
Oh, without a doubt. I need to point out that even though Frank Robb, your successful alligator hunter, got $2,500, which is his fee, he also received an additional $2,166, that for travel and lodging.
Oh, well, of course they had to take care of that.
He flew So a flight from Florida to Chicago and back, the round trip on that, even though it's last minute, let's double it because it's last minute. I don't think it would be double, but let's say it's 800, which is outrageous. I've never paid anywhere near that for Florida. I'm going to say realistically, it was probably about $500 or $600. So then it's an additional $1,500
hotel
to stay where though? Where did he stay for two days?
Chicago plus meals.
It just says travel and lodging. Yeah, it just says travel and lodging. But yeah, let's say he went to Bennigan's once or twice. Right.
I had to bring him down to turn on the fountain.
Right.
And he threw out the pitch.
You don't get any. There's no money changing hands for those things.
No, but the Uber ride.
Yeah, to get transportation there.
All right. That's
true.
I think
if he was staking out the alligator, he would have been living in a tent right there at Humboldt Park.
Right.
He would have been on duty all the time.
And plus, you want to be in a rustic area. You want to keep that in your mindset the whole time.
You do.
Yeah,
you
don't want to be in Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. Perfect, like Crocodile Dundee. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got a full show for you. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Are you still panicked or are you okay?
About?
You couldn't find your phone.
And
you were panicked.
Is that why you kept walking by?
Yeah.
I never saw you so panicked before.
I have issues at home today.
You too?
We have some plumbing issues.
Oh.
And I have left
your house does?
Yes.
I'll see the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, not me personally.
All right,
but I have left Jimmy Mack in charge of it, so I need my phone today.
Because even when he's in charge, sometimes an executive decision needs to be made, and he would call you and say, what do you do?
He'll call me and say, where's the place where you turn off the water again? And I'll say, it's behind that little panel in the finished basement that I told you where it was. But no call yet. So
that's good news.
That is so weird. Judy Pilak just texted me yesterday asking me for a plumber. And I should have said, hey, you need one too. So if you know a local plumber, text Judy, will you? Because she's been bugging me about it.
I called Plumbers 911
because
I heard them advertised here, and that's what you do.
Yeah.
So tell her to do that.
I will.
That's your best move.
I will. Or the Irish or the Scottish plumber, you know, one of the two.
Any nationality.
Exactly. I'd like the Italian plumber. Hey, what's the problem?
Is that how they operate?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's excellent.
It'd be like I'm talking to my grandpa. It would bring me back.
Yeah, it'd be fun. You know, Steve Bertrand did something very interesting. It's his anniversary, and a special anniversary, right, Steve? A milestone anniversary?
Well, Bill, everyone is a special one.
I don't mean to
answer the question.
This is our 25th.
A milestone anniversary.
Silver? Anniversary? Is that what 25 is?
I think it is, yeah. Yeah. So they, Steve and his wife, Sharon, decided to stay downtown and kind of see the city as though you're a tourist, right?
Well, we moved back to our, when we were married, we lived on Dayton in Lincoln Park, and we got an Airbnb on Dayton.
And your kids went to school in Dayton, didn't they?
My daughter did, yeah.
Look at that.
And it's weird. My wife used to work in Dayton.
And you got your date on. All right, that's pushing
it. Well, that's where it ends, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so we moved in on Sunday morning and are going home today. It's been great. It's really been fun.
So after living in the suburbs for all these years, and now all of a sudden living in the city for a week, would you go back and live in the city, or was a week plenty for you?
You know, everyone's asking. I don't know the answer to it yet. I mean, I loved getting in the car and seeing my GPS say 12 minutes to drive to work, which was fantastic. You know what was really the weirdest thing? Is for years, I lived there. When I would drive to work, I'd go through Lincoln Park, get on Lakeshore Drive, and come down here.
Sure.
It was pre-GPS. Now, with GPS, there's a whole different way, just going down South Halsted, and it's about 15 minutes shorter.
Oh, yeah,
I never knew time. That. Isn't that weird? Same neighborhood.
Well, you get set in a routine, right. You know, that's sure. What it is.
We went up to buy Wrigley, went to Taste of Lincoln Avenue, all the old stuff, went to a play last night.
Could you, Wendy, after living in the suburbs for so many years...
I've only lived in the suburbs.
Yeah, you've never lived downtown, right?
No.
Could you, if something happened, I don't know what would have to happen, but all of a sudden something becomes available right in the heart of the city, could you do that? Could you make that move, or would that be too big of a move?
Oh, I don't want to live in the city.
No.
Do you?
I don't, but my wife all of a sudden kind of does.
Uh-oh.
Which surprises
me. Which means you'll have a new zip code pretty soon.
I don't think so. I'm going to do everything I can to stay. I really love where I am. I like the city a lot.
We work in the city, so yeah, we get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, but you don't really, because you don't experience the restaurants and going out at night or...
And what's so funny...
I walked along the lakefront for the first time in 20 years.
Yeah, I believe that. I don't know if I've ever done that.
Which is crazy.
You know what the difference is? In the suburbs, you know who's crazy. Like, people will go, the guy who lives in that house,
right.
He's crazy. So you know when you live there, you go, okay, there's a crazy guy who lives there, and then three blocks down, that guy's crazy also. In the city, anyone can be crazy. You don't know who's crazy. I like knowing who's crazy.
Yeah, but in the suburbs, when you walk by the crazy, you're impacted by it. In the city, there's plenty of other people
that's true.
Cushion the crazy.
That's I don't really true. Worry about crazy people, maybe because I am crazy person.
Right.
All right.
There's a theory as
to, I should have said that out loud.
Right.
But I like having a yard. I like the suburbs. I like walking to a downtown area.
Don't you like having some space between yourself and those who live nearby?
Yes, and that's what I noticed in California when I was driving around in our rental Cadillac SUV. When the boys went to Disney for day number two, I started the day with a Bloody Mary and did shopping and drove around, and I was trying to imagine if I could live there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't because of all the traffic. I mean, even going like 3 miles, your GPS says it takes 25 minutes to go 3 miles.
Right.
And this isn't even on the freeway.
Right.
This is just like going
around.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at all the houses, and they're right up against each other.
You can find, you can certainly find places where there's a little more spread, but you pay for it.
Yeah, big time.
By a lot.
You pay for it with those little houses stacked right next to each other. Look like sardines.
Right.
There is no room next to each other.
Yeah.
And I like having a yard that I don't garden in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I like the suburbs. I would never want to live in the city.
What do you think will happen to Steve? Will he move back here or will he stay? No. Steve, you have to stay where you are.
I guess I'll stay in the suburbs.
You have to.
Why don't you just rent a condo, too, like everybody else seems to be doing these days?
Well, that's what, rent an apartment
or
for a year.
Yeah. Well, you know, with a group of friends.
Right. I was just going to say, like, a timeshare. No. We could all split it. I get it every weekend, and then we can figure out when you guys want.
That's fair.
We have other friends who he's going to be working down here. We've actually thought of that, getting four couples to share an apartment for a year.
So you guys would pool the cost.
Everyone would have a week a year.
But who would decorate?
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Me.
Steve, you'd want your blacklight posters up.
I would.
Maybe the other people might not want those, so that's a problem.
Mary, have you ever lived in the city?
No. Uh-uh.
I have been such a suburbanite my whole life.
Yeah.
I moved to Berwyn for 1 year.
Yeah.
That's about as far I got away from...
That's a city?
I lived with Sven for a while. Just for 1 year.
You guys had a place? You went to Svengoolie?
Not a house. It was a two-flat.
Like like a casket shaped.
Yes, it was super cool.
It was makeup lessons you gave him, right?
No, he gave them to me. Oh. Can't you tell?
All right, we must.
I didn't want to say that.
We must take a break. Paul Lisnick's going to join us in a little bit. We'll talk about last night's debate and what happens next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Steve. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Paul Lisnick. Paul was on the show yesterday, did so well, won a bonus round, got to come back and play again today. He's a political analyst for WGN-TV. He's the host of Politics Tonight, which is seen weeknights on CLTV at 5:30 and then shown again at 10 p.m. And he's also the host of Behind the Curtain, the podcast over at WGN+. Hello, Paul. You do a lot of things.
Hey, it keeps me busy. And my new fiction book called Assume Guilt. Let's toss that in there.
Assume Guilt, the new fiction book by Paul Lisnick.
And Steve Bertrand said he saw you at a play last night. Is that true?
Yeah, it was the opening of Come From Away. And lots of people got that. It was an incredible show. I highly recommend it to you guys. It's really amazing.
How were you able to be at a Broadway-type show and watch the debates?
He's been up all night.
I guess.
Actually, Wendy's right. I recorded the debates. I watched them at midnight, and I was ready to go on WGN's air this morning. Yeah. So, I thought I fell asleep during our interview. Don't tell that.
No, that's fine. You wouldn't be the first or the last.
I have never been much of a debate person. I really don't even like politics, but I felt the need to watch the last round of debates and this one both nights, and I watched every minute of it. I'm shocking myself.
Mm.
Well, then what you probably felt last night, Wendy, was a bit of, unease, because, you know, there was not a lot of uplifting tone last night, not a lot of vision for the future. What kind of amazed me last night was the amount of attacks. We knew Joe Biden. We talked about this yesterday on the air. We knew Joe Biden was going to face attacks because, you know, he's the guy to go after. He's in the lead right now. What surprised me was not that they were going after Biden, but all the attacks on President Obama and the Affordable Health Care Act and just how, you know, and other issues, but, you know, how the Obama administration wasn't coming through. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're giving Republicans talking points for ads coming up, but secondly, shouldn't your approach be, you know, the Obamacare thing didn't go far enough. We need to do more. We need to change. We need to prove it. Why would you sort of cut your own throat by going after the most popular Democrat in the country today? Obama ranks among Democrats at over 95% popularity among Democrats. And so it was just sort of amazing to me that the approach would be that. Of course, afterwards, many of them said, oh, I wasn't going after Obama. He's lovely. Can't have it both ways.
And I was telling Bill this off the air. They were all attacking Joe Biden. Now, I know everybody's trying to make themselves shine because they want to be the nominee, but it showed to me that it was not a united front with the Democrats.
Well, I think that's right. There is a lot of, but again, you know, when it's primary season. This is what happens during the primaries, right? And they're all going after each other. But again, it's one thing. My whole point in the first comment was they should be going after Biden on policies, on things he's done in his career. That's all fair game. I'm saying it was a mistake to go after the previous administration.
Yeah.
If you want to have a coherent approach as Democrats and look united. So what you were feeling and what you're commenting on, I think you're exactly right. And the reason is because of the focus they put on their criticism rather than putting it on the policies of other candidates. Biden did, by the way, fire back. You know, by the way, a low bar was set for him. People just sort of hoped he would not completely mess up. He met that bar. He threw some shots out, but you know, it's hard to say that he, you know, came through in the way that Democrats would have hoped he would if he one day will take on the president.
So, Paul, the tactic is you go after the top dog. Where if Andrew Yang was the guy who was leading in the polls, they would all be taking shots at Andrew Yang last night, right?
Probably complaining that $1,000 a month for everybody isn't enough money.
Right.
I would love that. And it's so weird because, you know, you have Marianne Williamson from the first night, and she made some good points, although she's out there. And Andrew Yang, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, this guy can't be president. But then some of his ideas and his comments were great. Julian Cruz is amazing to me, but he's not going to make it. And go ahead.
Well, Julian Castro, I think is who you meant to say.
Yes, I'm sorry.
He actually may just make it into the next round of debates. You know, if you were to list the folks who are there for sure, I think almost anybody could probably do that, and Biden and Harris, and we know that list of six or seven who have already made it. The question is, who tried to shine through, for example, last night? You had Kirsten Gillibrand, who, you know, is playing around the edges, but man, she was yelling at her great line last night. I mean, the one she's given credit for is that she's going to clean Clorox the Oval Office. I mean, again, if you're a Trump supporter, you're not pleased with that. But the point is, she's trying to get attention and focus. Tulsi Gabbard had some great attacks on Kamala Harris last night, which I think it'll be tough for Harris to come back from some of her, you know, during her record as Attorney General, which Biden threw at her as well. So, you know, some folks are safe, but there were a few people trying to break out. I don't think Andrew Yang is going to be one of them, even though, you know, he does have, listen, people like him as they like Marianne Williamson, but I just don't think you see them on the stage in September.
Paul, do us a favor. Explain the process by which they decide who does and does not go on to the next round, because I'm unclear about how exactly they figure that out.
Well, it has to do with the number of donors you have and the level of support in polls. So you're looking so that I'm forgetting the number of donors that it's required. It's going up. So in order to make these past debates, the number was a little more reasonable. And when I say donors, I mean individual different donors who have to give at least a little money, which is what's encouraging the Democrats to not say, I want a few people who are giving me millions of dollars. What they're saying is, I want a ton of people who are giving me a dollar. That's what gets them to qualify. So they're raising the numbers for September to such a level that by definition it will simply knock out probably half that crowd who just won't be able to get the fundraising. They're all, you know, they're all going nowhere in the polls anyway at 1%. That's why they all get knocked out. So I think in September you may see as many as 10. Hopefully it's more like 8, 7, because, you know, even if you get 10, well, then it's one more night where people don't get much more than about 18 minutes to say anything, right? Because you'll have 10 people on one stage.
I really like Kamala Harris, and I thought she did a good job at the last debate. I don't think she held up well during this one, and Tulsi Gabbard came from behind and really did a great job last night, although there is something that I'm confused about, and I rewound a couple times when she said that Donald Trump supports Al-Qaeda. I rewound because it's like, why didn't anybody say, could you build on that? What's up with that?
Well, the follow-up that you were getting from the moderators, and part of that is, you know, you're trying to, and listen, I've moderated debates, you know, you're listening to what you're getting, but you're watching the clock, you're very concerned about nobody violating your time cue, so there's so much going on in the head of the moderators that, you know, that would be a misspeak on her part, obviously, but, you know, then again, if you're a Democrat, you're probably sitting back saying, well, Donald Trump would certainly say the same thing about her, right? I mean, there's no question that Trump would say to the Democrats, they support open borders, which he always does, they love crime, they hate terror. So I guess if a line like that gets out once in a while, the other Democrats are just going to stay quiet about it.
Paul, you're okay on time, right? We can take a little break and talk to you a little bit more.
We can, sure.
All right. Yeah. Paul Liznick is here from WGN, from CLTV. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. We're talking about last night's Democratic debate with Paul Liznick. You know Paul. He's the host of everything.
And he's been on the show that you're going to be on.
Yeah, on Collector's Call.
Oh, are you really doing that?
Yeah, I'm shooting it on Tuesday. Lisa Welchel's coming to my house.
Well, tell Lisa I said, hi, you know, I've got a little surprise for you. Not only was I the premiere episode of season one, but I'm season two as well.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, we switched it around. We went to my brother's house. He has a Beatles collection. So we just have so much fun together, and we're idiots together, that they decided to just let us do season two. So we're going to go cover the Beatles.
Oh, that's excellent. Good for you guys.
What are we going to see with you, Bill?
Action figures, toys.
Oh, they told me, but they didn't say it was you, but they told me about your collection.
There's this crazy guy who his whole house is done up in toys.
Yeah.
Well, it was something about them going to like a loony bin to talk to you. I don't know where that is, but no, that's great. That sounds very fun.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
I play with dolls. It's okay.
Oh, all right. That's good news. Paul, there's no real, at this point, there's no scheduled Republican version of this debate, right?
You don't need, Donald Trump is not technically unchallenged.
Bill Weld, right?
What's that?
Isn't Bill Weld running against him?
You have Bill Weld claiming. You have former Governor Mark Sanford is toying with getting in the race.
Bill Weld was the Libertarian vice presidential candidate last time around.
Oh, okay.
That's who Bill Weld was, right?
Yeah.
Under Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's reaching out again, but they're no serious challenge. Donald Trump enjoys an over 90% favorable rating among Republicans. So anybody challenging him is doing it for whatever reasons they have. But if I'm Trump, there's no way I'm agreeing to stand at the podium and debate any of them. Except Trump might find it fun, but I don't expect him to actually ever do that.
Going back to the first night where Bernie Sanders, I can't remember who challenged him. And then Bernie says, you know, in the polls, it has me beating Donald Trump. First of all, I don't believe polls anymore at all because of the last election.
Sure.
And I mean, really, is Bernie the guy to go and beat Trump? Who do you think out of these candidates could give Donald Trump a run for his money?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, the poll Bernie was talking about was a Michigan poll. It was a Florida poll where they were. So he wasn't talking about a national poll. And it does look like, in terms of the polling, the only one at this point who beats President Trump outside the margin of error is Joe Biden. But that being said, you're absolutely right, Wendy. It makes no sense to pay attention to any of these polls. I think if you go back to 8 or 12 years ago, Rudy Giuliani was in the lead at this point for the Republican nomination against Obama. I mean, you know, it is so different now from what it's going to be. It's not like it was in 2016 when, for example, you had Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, but, you know, it was so clear that anybody else coming in was not going to, you know, was not going anywhere. So the bottom line to it is, you're right, the polls really are not telling right now, but what they're going to help you do is clear out some of these folks so you get down to a more serious 5 or 6 candidates in time. And remember, you're still 6 months away from primaries, right? So you have plenty of time for this to wash out, and cable TV has to fill 24 hours a day, so it helps.
Paul, if the poll that Bernie Sanders was citing was a Florida poll, by Florida standards, Bernie is a relatively very young man, isn't he?
Jeez.
Exactly. And by the way, I don't know if you're Stephen Colbert fans, but Colbert, after the debate, has been doing live shows. He has Bernie down. I mean, it was one of the funniest things that I've seen afterwards for his take. He's got his imitation down. So, you know, this is the concern of the Democrats. You have the older folks like Bernie and like Joe Biden, of course, who would be the oldest person to assume the presidency.
Yeah.
Then you have the opposite spectrum of the Pete Buttigieg's, and, you know, and everything in between. What's interesting, though, is for any of this focus to be put on age among Democrats, especially on the older side, you know, Donald Trump is no spring chicken, but for some reason, you know, that he's in his 70s seems to, you know, not matter, even though Joe Biden is nothing but a few years older than him. But they make it an issue because the president is masterful at the nickname. So we have Sleepy Joe, and you know that if it is Biden, as Biden proceeds, it's going to be, he's tired. He doesn't look well.
Yeah.
He's not up to this. And it was what was done to Hillary Clinton, and a lot of that stuck.
Paul, who do you think will benefit the most when the field is narrowed? Some people do well in a debate if there's a lot of people. Some do better when there's just a few people. So who do you think will come out with the best news when it's narrowed down a bit?
Well, let me answer it this way. You are going to come down to a conversation which is going to be about progressives versus moderates. I think Elizabeth Warren, you could almost call her a winner last night because she was unscathed based on what happened last night, and she had a really strong showing, I think even stronger than Bernie, in terms of how she articulates her positions on the night of her debate. So I think when we clear some of this stuff out, you do have Bernie and Elizabeth Warren kind of fighting it out. I am inclined to think Elizabeth Warren may just take that mantle from him in time. And then it's going to be the battle of the progressive, which is probably her, could be Bernie, and then you've got the moderate. So obviously it's the Joe Bidens and Kamala Harris, who I think got hurt last night
in
some of those attacks, but it was, we talked about, but I don't think she's going anywhere soon. And I really do think you get somebody like a Pete Buttigieg kind of hanging in there for a while because, you know, he's raising a ton of money. His poll numbers are good. They're just not great with regard to the African-American community, but he's smart. You know, is the country going to elect a gay man as president? I don't know that it's ready for that right now.
An openly gay man.
Huh?
An openly gay man.
What are you saying?
Gay man, yeah.
Experts have suggested we've had a gay president already, but he is an openly gay man.
Oh, that's an excellent point. It was Buchanan, right?
Yeah.
There's a scandal. But anyway, so
take that, Sneed.
Maybe Buchanan was open and nobody cared. I don't know. Maybe, you know, who knows?
Yep.
He might have been having big parties. We just didn't know.
I kept thinking last night as I was watching Joe Biden that had he run last election, I think he would have fared better. I feel like him waiting, and I know he had some personal issues.
Sure.
His son passed away and he wasn't ready to do it. But I feel like, in a way, he kind of missed the boat.
That may be. And you are hearing Democrats say now that this is not the time for Joe Biden. That was the time for Joe Biden. But you know what? You can't turn the clock back. It is what it is, and it was what it was. So, you know, he's also older now than he was then. So we just have to, you know, again, he's got to, you know, can he keep the energy up as the attacks continue to come in? Again, he held his own last night. He didn't exactly, you know, he didn't get any awards for winning the night by any means. The best you can say about it is he held his own. And he's going to have to continue to improve because, you know what I'm waiting for? When he's on the stage with Bernie and with Elizabeth Warren, that's going to be a fascinating night to watch. Yeah. And that night will be in September.
Paul, really quick, I'm sorry for asking this question with almost no time left, but I'm curious. Last time around, in the last election, the people that were loyal to Bernie Sanders, once he was knocked out and he wasn't the nominee for the Democrats, they didn't flock to Hillary Clinton, and that could have been one of the major contributors to her not being the president. Will that happen again this time around if Bernie Sanders... No, you don't think so?
I don't think it does, Bill, and here's the reason why. The reason the Bernie people said, you know, I'm not happy with Hillary, so therefore I'm staying home or I'm not voting, was because nobody in the world thought that Donald Trump would actually win the election. They thought there'd be no harm done by standing their principled ground. This time around, now that Democrats have been through a Trump administration, I would find it very surprising if the numbers or percentages were high of somebody who were to say, I'm staying home because I didn't get my Bernie Sanders candidate or something like that. I think the stakes are too high. People see the policies of the Trump administration for the last 4 years. And again, there are folks who support it, so that's great. My comment, I'm not making a judgment about it. I'm simply saying Democrats are less likely to stay home because they've had 4 years of the policies that many of them do not like.
That's Paul Liznick. Watch him as he hosts Politics Tonight, weeknights at 5:30 on CLTV. And that's
and I would have Lisa, be sure you have Lisa Welch will sign one of your dolls.
All right. Action figures.
Action figures.
Paul, thank you. Push the book one more time. What's the title of the book?
It's called Assume Guilt. It's fiction, but it's about corruption in politics in Illinois. It's fiction.
Excellent. Right. It can only be fiction. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Paul. All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. You are listening to 720 AM WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, I want to try something that's a little bit unorthodox, but I need you to be on my side for this because this could be great and it could be horrible. I don't know.
All right, explain.
All right. I want to try a game, a radio game with the listeners that we can't really play until this time next year.
Why?
It's kind of tricky. It's a Lollapalooza-based game, but it won't be ready for this year's show. I didn't realize... I didn't realize until this week that if you hosted a radio show in Chicago, you had to play a Lollapalooza game. On Steve Cochran's show, they play a game called Lollapalooza Band or Band That I Was In. On Ro Khan's show, they play a game called Lollapalooza Band or Medical Condition.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed we didn't think of one.
Well, that's why I'm already working on something for, like I said, I know that it's 12 months off, but I'm currently working on a game that we'll be able to play next year that's like that. It's a Lollapalooza-based game.
Not ready enough to play for this year?
I can't have it ready for this year. But by this time next year, it should be ripe for the picking.
Although, you know us, we'll forget.
Oh, I keep having to look down at a piece of paper now. It's like I've already forgotten it.
We'll forget to do it. It'll be ready. You'll spend a year working on it.
And then we'll totally forget.
Yeah.
Can I, if it's okay, I'd like to have people call up right now. We'll try out these games. I got a couple of different ideas, and then whichever one seems to be the best, we'll play on the show a year from now. Maybe a year from today. I don't know what the startup date is. I don't even know if Lollapalooza knows, but in about a year.
Either you're... a huge procrastinator, or you're very conscientious? I don't know which this is.
Not sure which one. I could be one or the other.
All right. Well, 312-981-7200. This is like a test panel for your game.
This is what it is. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's just a test. And if it I've got, like I said, a few different ideas. I'm sure one of them will work, but I don't know which one yet.
All right. So 312-981-7200. You can call and give Jasmine your name. Bill will ask you some kind of Lollapalooza-esque question.
Correct.
And are we going to do a couple rounds?
Yeah, I got a couple rounds ready. They're all slightly different. I'm hoping one is really good. I'm hoping they're all really good, but one, whichever one seems to test the best, we'll do it this time next year.
Okay, and then we have only one prize to give away, so how do you want to do that?
Well, we'll take the winners. I'm assuming there will be a winner of each round, and then we'll put their name. This is a scientific approach. We'll put their names in a hat. Jasmine will pick the name, and whoever wins it gets a pizza.
All right, we got a Lou Malnati's one to give away. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, and you can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com, or we could put your name in the hopper. We should get a something of Dennis Hopper and put the names in his head, and then we can put it in the hopper.
Or Hopper from Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, there's a new Hopper in town.
Popular.
All right, so how many people do you need for round number one?
Just one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And if you win, you're in the running for a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Yeah, yep.
All right, this sounds crazy and fun. Kevin is our first contestant in the test panel.
Good morning.
Kevin, you're very brave.
Yeah, I suppose.
Kevin, I'll explain. I don't know if you heard the explanation, but on Steve Cochran's show, they play a game called Lollapalooza Band or Band that Steve was in. And then on Rokan's show, he plays a game called Lollapalooza Band or Medical Condition. So we're going to play a game called Lollapalooza Band or Friends Character. Okay. Are you ready?
All right. Sure.
So I'll mention the name of what is either a Lollapalooza Band or a Friends character. And if you get enough right, you'll be in the running for a pizza. Are you ready?
So do I say if it's a band or a character?
On Friends, yeah.
That would be your response.
Yep.
Hopefully the correct one.
All right, let's see how you do. Ready? Boombox Cartel. Boombox Cartel, is that a Lollapalooza band or a Friends character?
I'm going with the band.
Yes! Excellent. Phoebe.
Oh, Friends.
Yes! You're 2 for 2. Against the Current.
Oh, band.
Yes! Joey.
This is stupid.
What?
Wendy. Joey Tribbiani.
Friends.
Yes! The Bad Sons.
Macaulay Culkin.
That's not an option. Lollapalooza Band. One more. Ross's wife, Carol.
Wow, this is tough. Friends.
Yes. Yeah, you're really good at this.
All right, Kevin.
Wow, you're excellent at this.
Thanks for being part of the test panel. We'll get your info.
He was amazing.
And we will set you up if you're the winner.
Six out of six, Wendy.
Kevin, hang on.
I didn't expect anyone to get 6 out of 6. That was outstanding. All right, so I thought that tested pretty well. I mean, I wrote it, so it's not fair. You tell me, but I thought that was a pretty good option for next year.
It's an easy option.
It is kind of an easy option. Should we take a quick break, and then I've got more of these, or it's up to you?
Yeah, well, let's take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. I need a break after that. It was 6 out of 6.
All right, so Kevin's name is going to go into the hopper.
Yes.
And if you're on hold and Jasmine has spoken to you, sit tight.
Yeah.
Because we will come back to you. You will also be part of this test panel. Does this have a name, this game for next year?
It's called the game that we'll play next year, the Lollapalooza game for next year. Who wants to win a Lou Malnati's pizza? Give us a call right now at 312-981-7200. We're not playing a game now, not technically. We'll be playing it a year from now, but I'm testing out various games, Lollapalooza-based games, that we'll be able to play at this time next year, as the texters have so beautifully pointed out, if we're still here next year.
Well, we've said it on the air, so we have to be,
I guess,
don't
so.
We?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Our next test panel person is Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hi.
That's a funny name, Bill.
I know.
It's a crazy name. Bill,
congratulations, first of all, on being on Collector's Call. I can't wait.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
To see your toy collection.
Thank you. You're
pretty impressive.
Thank you. That's so nice of you.
Size does matter.
Bill, thanks, Wendy.
Yes.
It turns out there's a state law. If you have a radio show in the state of Illinois, you have to do a Lollapalooza-based game. Steve Cochran has a great game. It's called Lollapalooza Band or Band that Steve was in. Rokan has a great game. It's called Lollapalooza Band or Medical Condition. I'm testing different games for next year. We're going to try with you, Bill, a game called Lollapalooza Band or Piece of Furniture. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. You just tell me if this is a band at Lollapalooza this year or a piece of furniture that you own. Here goes. The first one is Bring Me the Horizon.
Lollapalooza Band.
Very good. One for one. An ottoman.
Pete? Ooh, that's a hard one.
Yep.
Piece of furniture.
Yes. You're two for two. An end table.
Trick question, I know.
Yes, I bet one of these is a trick question.
Piece of furniture.
Yep, you're right. You're three for three. Manic focus.
That would be, let's see. No, I don't think it's Tell City Furniture. It would be Lollapalooza.
Yes, yes. Tough one. Four for four. A lamp that you bought at a garage sale.
piece of furniture.
Bill, you went undefeated 5 out of 5. Congratulations, you're in the running for Lumel Nati's Pizza.
I have one, too.
What is it?
It's kind of similar to Steve's game.
What is it?
But I think it would be right up your alley, and it's either Lollapalooza Band or Vintage Saturday Morning Cartoons.
Oh, that would be...
I do have...
Go on.
Three questions I could try on you.
Yeah, please. Wendy and I will work on this together. Go ahead.
Okay. The first one is going to be Lollapalooza Band or Vintage Saturday Morning Cartoon, The Hair Bear Bunch.
Wendy?
That's simple. Cartoon.
Cartoon, absolutely.
Okay. Rough and Ready.
I'm going to go Lollaband.
That's a cartoon, Wendy.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And the third and final one, this is a tricky one. Will the Real Jerry Lewis Please Sit Down?
That's a cartoon. I remember watching that. I love that show.
Correct.
All right. Send me a prize.
You're going to Lollapalooza Woo-hoo! Next year. Wendy set him up.
All right. Well, Bill, if you win the pizza, you'll have to send it back to Bill.
Mm-hmm. I will gladly do that.
All right.
All right. Hang on, Bill. A second. You're in the running for a Lumel Nati's Pizza.
So far, our contestants have been flawless. Not a single wrong answer. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I wonder why. Cheryl, you are our next test panel participant.
Cheryl, you know how... Oh, go on.
Good morning. If I could just say real quick, based on the first two rounds,
yes.
I have another suggestion for a game.
Yes.
Lollapalooza Band or Cocktail.
Oh,
a
I
cocktail.
Like that.
Wendy's in.
And I don't have any examples, but I just thought that would be a really...
That would work.
Some drinks have really weird names.
Yeah.
So
yes.
There you go.
That would definitely work. All right, here goes. This is, again, Cheryl, this is just a test for next year.
Okay.
So far,
gotcha.
We've played Lollapalooza Bands or Friends character, Lollapalooza Bands or Piece of Furniture. We're going to play Lollapalooza Band or Flavor of Gelato. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, yeek.
Lollapalooza Band.
Correct. One out of one. Butter Brickle.
Gelato flavor.
Yes.
Going out on a limb. Yes.
Two for two. Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators.
Lollaband.
Yes, 3 out of 3.
What would that taste like?
Not
really?
Pleasant. Fritz and the Tantrums.
I know that's a Lollaband.
That is, 4 out of 4.
Those guys.
Rum Raisin.
Gelato.
You
flavor.
Are 5 out of 5. You're in the running for Lumel Nati's Pizza.
Cheryl, hang on, okay?
Okay, I will.
Thank you very much. We'll get her information. And we have one more.
I have one more, Wendy.
All right. This
So far, what would you say is the strongest for next year so far?
A different game entirely.
A different game. Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
This is Chase. Hey, Chase.
Hello.
Chase, we have saved the hardest one for last.
Doubt it.
Are you up for it?
I am up for it.
Chase, good luck to you. Have you been to Lollapalooza ever?
I have as a kid in the late 90s.
Yeah. So that may help you. Your experience there in the surroundings that are Lollapalooza could help you with this one, because this one's pretty tough. I have to admit, I wrote this one. I don't know if you're going to get any right.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
All right, Chase, good luck. Lollapalooza Band or Things I Have in My Pocket Currently? Currently is in brackets. All right, here goes. Tell me if this is a band at Lollapalooza this year or Something I Have in My Pocket in brackets currently. Here goes. Jade Bird.
Lollapalooza Band.
Yes. Judah and the Lion.
Oh, that's a tough one, but I'm going to go with a band.
Yes. $20.
Well, I don't have that in my pocket currently, but I'm going to go with items that would be found in my pocket.
Yeah. Well, these are in my pocket. I have these in my pocket
he
right now.
He gets $20 a day, so that was a safe bet.
I haven't spent any of my $20, so I have it all. Here goes. Japanese breakfast.
Oh, wow. That's a band.
That is a band. You're 4 out of 4. My car keys.
That's a tough one again, but I'm going to go with your pocket.
Yep. You're still batting 1,000. Still woozy.
Balaban.
Yes, and one more. Some lint and part of what looks like a train schedule. I'm not sure.
Now, that's a great band name, but I'm going to have to go with Pop.
Oh, you got them all. Every one, Chase. I'm so proud of you.
Wow.
All right. Hang on a minute, Chase, and we will put you in the hopper. Your name will go in the hopper, and you could walk away with a Lou Malnati's pizza, and who wouldn't want that?
Mm, so delicious.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank
Wendy,
you.
We have played 4 different games, each of them a test for next year at this time. We've had 4 winners. Each of them somehow got, they all got everyone right, which is very disconcerting.
Why.
I don't know why. I made them as difficult as I possibly can.
Although you've given a lot of young bands out there name ideas for when they perform.
If we get nothing else out of this, we've gotten that. We've made some young band somewhere in Elk Grove Village very, very happy this morning.
What was that absolute last one? Some lint in my pocket and what I think is a train
schedule? Part of what looks like it might be a train schedule.
Best band name ever.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Jazz, have you put the names all on little pieces of paper, and can we shake them up and pull out a name?
I will.
All right. Good. All right, Jazz is doing that as we speak, Wendy. And Jazz, once you have a winner, please announce who it is so we can congratulate them and throw confetti here in the studio. Do you have them?
I'm going to go with Cheryl.
Cheryl is our winner.
Cheryl, congratulations. Cheryl scored a Lou Malnati's gift certificate because pizza is yummy, especially Lou Malnati's. That's not really their tagline, although that would be a good name.
Yeah, it would be a
pizza
good...
Pizza is yummy.
Yeah. A Chicago-based band called Pizza is Yummy, you can't miss.
Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. And I have a tip for you. You can get the Lou Malnati's app, mm-hmm. and then you accrue points, and you get free pizza.
Ah, who loses in that? Nobody.
No, it's a win-win situation.
Just a quick reminder, tomorrow at this time, during both the regular show and during the bonus hour, Wendy and I will be on the air, but not here in our regular studio at WGN. We'll be out at the county fair in Westchester.
Woodstock.
Woodstock. I'll go to the wrong county fair if I go to Westchester.
Woodstock is where Groundhog Day was filmed.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get a little tour on some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do any filming at the McHenry County Fair in Woodstock during the movie?
I don't remember that being part of the movie.
There will be little monkeys riding on dogs.
As per our request.
You know,
we said we'll only come under one condition. There's monkeys riding dogs. They said we don't know if we can do it. It turns out they can, so we'll have that. If nothing else happens tomorrow, that's what I want to see.
I know, but when it was in, you know, some of the things that would be happening at the fair, like, as soon as I said that, your eyes lit up so big.
I know. Because it's monkeys riding dogs, Wendy. You don't see that every day. And if you do, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, there are tons of events. I love going to their website, which is McHenryCountyFair.com, because there are so many things going on, livestock shows.
You will fulfill a childhood fantasy.
Yeah, I get to milk a cow.
Yep.
You have absolutely no desire to try that?
Mm-mm. That's a job left to the professionals, in my opinion.
There are exhibitors. There are vendors. I got to find that one thing, though, that I need to know what's... It's like horse pleasure, it says.
Yes.
I don't know what that
means.
We're
very curious as to what that is. That may have been a typo, but either way, anxious to see.
All right, well, that's going on
tomorrow.
There's
also both a mother and daughter look-alike contest and a father and son look-alike contest.
I don't have a daughter, you don't have a son, so we could
not
participate in this.
I know.
Hmm. You could bring a daughter. One daughter looks like you.
They don't, but that's not a contest yet.
All right. And your best idea ever is there are a lot of deep fried things. I honestly can't wait to get a corn dog. That is like going to be the highlight of my day. And I'll be super disappointed if they don't have one.
They'll have them.
But you came up with a deep fried idea as well. Do you remember it?
Tell me, remind me.
Deep fried cotton candy.
Yeah. Why don't they have that? They should definitely sell deep fried cotton candy.
I think they could do it, and I think it would be yummy.
My fear, though, is that it's not as healthy as you'd think.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. All right, we are going to talk to Dean Richards. I would love to chat with him about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
One of, as you said, one of the best movies you've ever seen.
Definitely one of the.
Yeah.
I will say that. And yeah. I'm anxious to hear what he thinks. And we'll talk to him after the news.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films.
And Lala.
Then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard porn.
But Lala.
Right.
He's at Lala.
Yeah, that's where he is. Dean, you're at Lollapalooza right now.
Lala.
I like to hang out where the groovy kids are hanging out.
You wearing your cool hat? I haven't seen you yet on TV this morning.
I am. I actually brought several cool hats with me now because Robin Baumgarten on TV this morning was teasing me that Dean's going to be out there and he's going to be wearing his Lollapalooza hat. So I have several hats.
Good.
That I'm wearing today. Apparently, it's my new trademark.
A man of many hats.
I am. I'm a bald man of many hats.
See if you can find my friends Dobie Gillis and Maynard G. Krebs. They're there today. See if you can see them.
Say hello. I actually did see them earlier. Patty Duke just went in.
Oh, she did?
And Kathy. Both Patty and Kathy. Because they're cousins. Identical cousins, as you'll find.
Yep.
They walk alike, they talk alike.
They admire Jenna Sock alike.
Yeah, all the kids are so excited to see the Partridge Family out here today.
Oh, they're out there?
And Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Oh,
and all the big groups are out here
today. The Bugaloos are probably out there, the Banana Splits.
I went early last night and buried my incense and peppermints just for...
You did?
Yes.
Very nice. That's what all the cool kids do.
And what is the aroma like right now?
Well, let me just—I'm not familiar with this particular smell.
Yeah.
All I can say is I am craving Fritos right now, like a banshee.
I wonder what that's all about. That's crazy.
I would give anything for some garlic dip and Oreos right now. That's all I know.
Wonder what's causing that. But Dean, you have to admit, it's a very exciting place to be right now, isn't it?
You know what? It is fun. It's I'm going to say first and foremost, and we're at the south end of Grant Park most of the morning today while they were setting up, and while we were there, we saw many bomb sniffing dogs inside the grounds, just taking the dogs around the area. It hasn't even been open yet. This was 6-7 o'clock this morning, and they were just combing the area, the backstage areas, every place to make sure that everything has been safe. I don't remember a presence of I guess they're assault weapons, automatic weapons. I'm not that. You know, big on my weapon names, but Chicago police are out here with rifles this year.
Wow.
That I have never seen before. The kind that you sometimes see military holding at airports. I'm told that there are snipers on the buildings along Michigan Avenue. I talked with a Lollapalooza spokesperson earlier, and, you know, they said, especially this year with the shootings that have been taking place at festivals and concerts and, you know, things like that, that security is a number one concern of theirs. And there is a much greater police presence here. Right now, I'm at Michigan Avenue and Ida B. Wells Drive, formerly Congress Parkway,
mm-hmm.
right near where the main gates are. And, there are always police out here, but not like this year. There's many more uniformed police that are out here, and, you know, I'd be shocked if there weren't plainclothes police all over the place. We just saw the bomb squad rushing down Michigan Avenue, going south on Michigan Avenue. We don't know what for.
Jeez.
But there is, that's part of what's going on here this year. I talked to a lot of the kids while they were waiting in line, because the kids love their Uncle Dean.
Yes, they do.
They love sharing their stories with their Uncle Dean. And, you know, they are very aware of that, you know, security needs to be heightened, that they need to be careful. They need to, you know, keep their eyes open for things that may look unusual. And I got to say, more than any other year, the kids seem to be a little more aware of that they need to be hydrated. They need to stay out of the, you know, not be in the sun for too long. They seem to be a little smarter about taking care of themselves. This year. So, you know, that's, you know, from a grown-up talking, it's a lot smarter this year for them.
Dean, I remember last year you got a lot of attention. You had a tent set up with coffee cups, and you had the message, mugs, not drugs, and everybody picked up on that. Are you going to do that again this year?
I'm gonna try to. The franchising fee was so high on that this year.
Yeah.
But most what we're trying to market this year for the kids are fillable underwear. In other words, it's you know, like underpants.
Yeah.
That you can put water in, and there'll be a long tube, so you can stay hydrated. You don't have to actually carry anything.
I've been wearing those for years.
Well, I think the ones that you wear are called diapers. But
right.
Oh, ouch. Yeah. We have a bad connection.
These are refillable brassieres and underpants.
Oh, they are.
Brassieres. Welcome to 2019.
Yeah, I like to use the phrases that I learned in the old Playtex TV commercials from
Jane Russell.
Yeah, from the crosshair. We have some refillable cross your heart brassieres that you can get.
Wow, that sounds great. Is there a name on those, Dean, or no name?
No, these are generic now.
Mine say Saturday. I'm wearing them early.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Look at you, overachiever.
I know.
Well, I hope you do well with those.
It's a thank you. Thank you. It's a you know, marketing opportunity. We try to do what we can with those. But I got to say, they changed the configuration slightly for the kids coming in. I say the kids, but really it's mostly like 20-year-olds that are going in.
Yeah.
But it's there are really people of all ages. Kids I'm seeing senior citizens going in, which is, you know, they love music and going to check out different things. But there are two different main entrances on Michigan Avenue this year that split it up a little bit. And unless there are far few people, which I doubt there will be, the Lollapalooza people are expecting capacity crowds here today, it doesn't seem as crowded by the main gates this year as it has in the past.
I wonder what that's all about.
Attendance is down, huh?
Is it? Yeah, well, maybe. Hard to say yet.
Or else they've just, you know, spread it out a little bit. But, the long lines that we would normally see at 11:40, we're not seeing right now. I mean, people are they're going right in. There's a security check, but people are scooting right in. And at 11 o'clock, when the gates open, you know, you could see people making mad dashes for their favorite stages.
Yeah,
where their performers were, so they could get good spots. A lot of people are super stoked, as we kids like to say.
Yeah,
about seeing the Strokes tonight, or the Chain Smokers. Those are the two big headliners. Max Frost is doing a set on one of the big stages tonight. But then for the weekend, it's pretty mainstream by Lollapalooza standards, at least. Childish Gambino, Janelle Monáe, Lil Wayne, Kacey Musgraves, which was a surprise at Lollapalooza, a pretty mainstream country artist. Tenacious D. Who else? 21 Pilots.
All 21 Pilots, Dean.
All 21 of them are going to be here. I mean, these are just some of the big names. In addition to the seven stages, there are a total of, I think, 179 bands that are performing this weekend. Oh, and after tomorrow, I will be a Lollapalooza performer. I can add to my resume, along with Victory Auto Records, that I will be hosting a Q&A with
Hamilton,
with members of the cast of Hamilton that are doing. They're doing a musical performance. Then after the musical performance, I'm going to be doing a Q&A with the cast of Hamilton tomorrow.
That's excellent. Congratulations. Now, that'll be fun.
I've already demanded Evian water,
oh, yeah,
72 degrees,
yeah.
Red M&Ms only, and I would like everybody in the cast of Hamilton to be wearing my new refillable underpants if possible.
I'm sure they'll do that. Dean Richards is our guest. We're going to talk to him more about what movies are coming out this weekend. He's at Lollapalooza. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Dean Richards is live at Lollapalooza. And a quick text before we get back to Dean from 847. In keeping with the medical community statistics, the chain smokers go before the strokes.
That's true.
Genius. Isn't that good?
That's hysterically true. Dean.
That is genius. I'm gonna mention that at the cardiovascular disease band stage.
And then, sadly, the Grateful Dead aren't there, but they would be the closer on that triad.
They would be the closing act for it all.
Yeah. Yep.
I know you have movies to review, but I just want to get in here that I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, over 2 hours long. Usually a movie that's over 2 hours, I get theater ass, but I loved it. It is 240, yes. It was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Oh, wow. Well, good. I'm glad that you liked it. Sounds like you liked it more than I did. Which I liked it. I liked it. I don't think it's one of the best movies that I've ever seen. I don't think it's one of Tarantino's best movies either. It just felt a little scattered to me. It was just, you know, lots of different images that I struggled to piece together to have make sense. It just felt like sort of a tribute to things that were important to Quentin Tarantino when he was growing up. The Hollywood scene, the music scene, the movie business, being obsessed with the Tate Charles Manson family and the Tate LoBianca murders there. But it's beautifully acted.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree with you more. Certainly about the performances. It's shot beautifully. It's a good movie. He made a good movie. How it's going to hold up against Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. That's the long formal title of the Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Jason Statham movie that's opening tomorrow.
Your Hawaii buddy.
And my Hawaii buddy. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's why I interviewed last week in Hawaii. And it's a fun movie. You know, it's not, there's nothing, a lot to think about with this movie, but it's about the perfect summer popcorn movie, really. To just, you know, go turn your brain off for a little while, watch The Rock and Jason Statham, who, if you are fans of the Fast and Furious franchise, you know that they're sort of arch enemies. They can't stand each other, yet they have to work with each other in this movie to bring down a cyber criminal that wants to destroy half the population in the world. It's fun. It's fun watching them trash talk. The action is exciting. The effects are, I have to say, kind of especially good in this movie. It's just a really fun popcorn movie. So I gave it a Dean's List A minus.
A quick question. Will I have had to have seen Howard's End and Remains of the Day to understand what's going on in this movie or not?
No, I think you'll be okay. Same with, you don't have to see the seven previous Fast and Furious movies.
Oh.
Just know that these two guys don't like each other. That's really all you know, and they make it perfectly clear in the movie. On the completely other end of the cinematic world, there is a really excellent documentary that anyone who's interested in the news should go see called Mike Wallace Is Here, words that nobody wanted to hear when the famous 60 Minutes anchor would knock on your door.
It meant you were in trouble.
It meant that there was big trouble if Mike Wallace was there.
Yeah.
And it talks about his career. It shows a lot of his very historic interviews, talks about his style. They cross-reference that style of journalism and the importance of a free press in society and make it more than clear that they're referring to the attempts to shut down a free press in the world these days. It's a very interesting movie, and you know, if you're a 60 Minutes fan, you're a Mike Wallace fan, obviously you'll like it, but the movie is much more than that. I gave it a Dean's List B+.
I want to see that. That looks really
great.
Good.
Dean, we appreciate you. We know you're fixed for time because you're at Lollapalooza. We really appreciate you being here. What are you looking forward to really quickly the most at Lollapalooza when you're there for the next few days?
Well, I am a big fan of Donald Glover, Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a really interesting, amazing, creative show. I think that's probably what I'm looking forward to most. I mean, I enjoy going to some of the smaller stages and, you know, seeing bands and performers that I've never heard of before. And, you know, I remember years ago, I don't know what year it was, but seeing a performer on a small stage named Lady Gaga, who was, you know, just kind of blew my mind at how different she was.
Yeah.
But seeing her in a, you know, a smaller kind of setting before she actually became the Lady Gaga was, you know, was quite amazing. I'm looking forward to later on this afternoon, I'm going to sit down and talk one-on-one with Janelle Monáe.
Oh, I love her.
She's performing here tomorrow, so we'll have that on the morning news tomorrow morning. And also, later this afternoon, I'm going to sit down with the guy who created all of this, Perry Farrell, of Jane's Addiction fame, and we'll, you know, talk to him about this little baby that he's created that's grown into one of the biggest music festivals in the world.
Very good. He's an interesting guy. Well, a metaphoric baby. Dean, thanks so much.
I love my refillable underwear. I love my metaphors.
What stage is Metaphoric Baby playing on?
I have to check Lollapalooza.com. Okay. I can't never remember these things.
This is their last performance, Metaphoric Baby. They're breaking up after this. Yeah. So see them while you can.
The other thing that I'm really looking forward to as I go around Lollapalooza is watching people go, "Sir, can we help you?" "Sir? Oh, pardon me, sir." Just in case I'm not feeling old enough, almost everybody here will make me feel a little old.
Oh, that's perfect. That's a good time. Dean,
sir, you dropped one of your hats.
Get off my lawn.
Thank you, Dean.
Thanks, Dean.
Enjoy yourself.
You
have a good weekend.
Bye, guys.
That's Dean Richards.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Dave Schwann from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's WGN Radio.